We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the second chapter, 16th Mishnah. We were learning about Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon, the Kohen, Rabbi Tarfon, who became very wealthy later on in life after being impoverished. Rabbi Tarfon, who used to tell his students, "Don't leave me alone with my daughter-in-law." And then that student made fun of him and was caught being intimate with his mother-in-law. So our sages said, Rabbi Tarfon is one of the people who teaches honesty. And one of the ways that we overcome our desires and take control of our weaknesses is by being honest. You don't have to publicize it to the whole world, but a person does have to ensure that they don't fall in their weaknesses. So Rabbi Tarfon, the great Rabbi Tarfon, taught the following. Hu haya omer, lo alecha hamelacha ligmor. You are not responsible to complete the task. Sometimes we're pressurized to get it done. Who said your job is to get it done? Your job is to get as much of as much as you can done. When we speak about 613 mitzvot, but you're not free to say, "I don't have to do any of it." So sometimes you say, "If I can't do the whole thing, I won't do any of it." No. Im lamadta Torah obe, you should know if you learn a lot of Torah, notnim lecha sachar obe. So then they'll give you great wages. And you could trust your employer that he's going to pay you your wages. Veda, and you should know, that the righteous get their wages in the future. So don't expect it right away. Sometimes we do what's right. You have Yosef with Potiphar's wife. He does everything right. Here she is trying to seduce him. He runs out of the house. She grabs his robe. He lets go of the robe and runs out naked. He's embarrassed in front of everyone. And what does he get for it? He gets thrown into the dungeon. So sometimes you do everything right. You say, "Rabbon Shalom, what do you want from me?" Wait, we're not done yet. It's still coming. Hu haya omer. What? Okay. Yes. Okay. Rabbi Tarfon, he used to say, you do not have the responsibility to finish the task. Sometimes a person says, "I'm never going to finish Shas. I can't do it." You look at Shas, you look at Tanakh, you look at Mishnayos. You know, when I came to Merkaz Harav, I couldn't manage in the lowest shir in the yeshiva. So I said, "What am I going to do?" I couldn't follow the Gemara. I couldn't follow the Shir. So I started learning Tanakh and Mishnayos. I spent the first half a year learning Tanakh and Mishnayos. After that, I went to learn the first Masechta. When I went to learn the first Masechta, I couldn't do Tosfos. Here I thought I'd do a page a day, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. I couldn't do it. So I did the first Masechta, Gemara, Rashi. I finished that. I couldn't. I wanted to review it with Tosfos. Didn't work. I went back and did it a second time, Gemara, Rashi. And then by the third time, I was able to add Tosfos. And slowly, a person says, "I can't do it all." Okay, so you can't do it all. But you're not responsible to do it all. A person sometimes says, "If I can't do everything, I won't do anything." No, lo alecham lachaligmo. You're not responsible to do everything. A person sometimes says, "What am I accomplishing? I'm working so hard, and I won't finish the job." Shelo alecha legomra, but that's not your responsibility. Who said you have to finish us today? You worked hard at Torah. You tried to learn. You did the best you could. So that's it. You did your mitzvah. Well, one of our frustrations in life is that we imagine we should be doing more. If I'm doing what I can, I did my mitzvah. On the other hand, the person could say, "If I don't have to finish Shas, fine, I'll clock in an hour a day and the rest of the time, let me do what I want. I'm not finishing it anyways." Doesn't work that way. You don't have the freedom to say, I don't have that responsibility. You can't absolve yourself of the responsibility. That's incorrect. You're like an acquired servant. You have a job to learn day and night. Then you'll be successful in life. You might even finish it, believe it or not. You might suddenly discover, "Hey, wow, I can do this." I'm telling you, as someone who could not learn a page of Gemara, who could not learn with the lowest chavrusa in the yeshiva, and you grow, and growth is exponential. You don't expect it, but if you keep working at it, so you advance. And suddenly you do understand, and then you understand more, and suddenly you do remember, and then you remember more. And the next time you review it, you see, hey, wait, something stuck. I didn't forget everything. I thought I forgot everything, but look at that. Im lamata Torah harbe notnin lecha sachar harbe. If you learned a lot of Torah, they'll give you great wages. Lomar sheyesh yitron harbe midatov nechkam al hamamit, af al pi sheshneim lo nitpatlu. Don't assume that if you worked hard, but you didn't accomplish, and the next guy worked hard and he did accomplish, there's no difference between you. No, at the end of the day, accomplishment also matters. You should try to accomplish, and that's why he says, if you've accomplished a lot, you will get great wages for it. And you can trust your employer. Don't worry. How many times does a person work, and his employer says, come back tomorrow, I'm going to pay you. I don't have money right now. So a worker is worried about that. And if we touched on this, I just want to give you some practical advice. There are people that teach. They work for employment where they don't get paid, and they keep pushing them off. And sometimes a person can be owed 6 months' work of 6 months' salary. Now, what happens after 6 months is that there's a reverse. You're on two opposite sides of the psychological spectrum. The worker feels like he has to keep working because they owe him 6 months' salary. He's going to lose 6 months' salary, half a year's worth of work. The employer has less and less of an interest to pay that worker because if he can hire the next worker, he only has to pay him 1 month's salary. And this worker is going to cost him 6 months' salary. So the very reason why this worker has an incentive to keep working is why the employer has an incentive not to pay him. So you'll tell me, are you talking about dishonest people? And I'll say, yes, I'm talking about dishonest people. The world has dishonest people. I've seen people make this mistake and keep working and keep going for a year. And after a year, the worker says, am I going to stop now? And he keeps telling me he'll pay me. He just needs that breakthrough. So the employer has that desire to keep working because he has the dream. He'll get the year's worth of salary. Maybe go to court with that employer and go find another job. Because continuing to work for that employer is working for nothing. So I'm just telling you because I've seen people make this mistake. And again, the employer has more and more of a reason. With every passing month, he has more of a reason not to pay you. Because the next worker will cost him 1 month's salary, and you're costing him a half a year to a year's salary. Yeah?
Employer, in this case, not only is he totally equivalent to going into someone's house and lifting a piece of jewelry, I mean, he's literally stealing from the guy, he's also leading the other guy to do all kinds of arrangements. Because he has his credit at the Marcola, he has his stuff, so it's, you know, someone has to educate. That's bad stuff.
It's bad stuff, but it's going around. But people don't. I see people making this mistake. So that's.
But you're saying particularly criminal. You're saying do it. You can't afford it. Same guy is doing that. You know, he's taking his family on vacation to Canary or something. You know, that's a problem. If somebody really, it's wasn't it.
You're saying practically multiple cases you've seen this in Israel?
Yes. Not only in Israel, around the world. I see this especially by people who are self-employed. I've seen this happen to people who, let's say, work in computers. Where a lot of times people take on contracts long distance, and then the guy tells them, you know, I just have to take your work and submit it, and then they'll pay me and I'll pay you. There are a lot of times that people really go under because of this. I've seen this happen a lot by people who have their own businesses, not only people who are employed. I've seen educational institutions, I've seen therapists that worked on contract. The employer gets his money. The therapist keeps working. Again, same idea. I've seen it both in teaching and in therapy and in computers and in many different realms, and people keep making this mistake. And by the time they realize it, like Mr. Fleisch mentioned, they're already so deep in debt, it can destroy. I've seen families destroyed over this because the person keeps believing that they'll get the money, and instead of looking for real work, by the time they realize they've been duped, they can be 50, 150,000 shekel in debt, and what happens is the person allows himself to go into debt because he believes he'll be paid. And very often his relatives will give him loans, and a lot of people will give him loans because they believe he'll be paid. Again, if I'd seen this once, it's not worth mentioning. If I see it numerous times a year, so I'm mentioning it. Think how to apply it in your own lives. Back to our Mishnah. So that's why our Mishnah says you can trust your employer here. Even though I'm telling you, I'll pay you down the road, the Mishnah is saying Hashem is going to pay you down the road, you can trust him, he'll do it. You're working for a trusted employer. You can trust Hashem, he's going to pay you. And we conclude the chapter. You should know that the wages of the righteous are yet to come. And if you think about this, it gives you strength to work harder in Torah and in mitzvos. And if a person thinks about it, really Hashem doesn't owe him anything, and yet Hashem says, I will pay you ultimately for what you're doing, and that adds the encouragement and the connection a person has with his Creator.